This is a HeadGum Podcast.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by the Fine Dining Podcast. Caroline, do you like to dine finely?
I do, because it rhymes with my name.
Caroline, dine fine, drinking water, drinking wine.
With Diane Feinstein.
With Diane Feinstein. RIP. Fine Dining, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America, is a podcast where comedian Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all the chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5 out of 10 dining experience. The objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good, which, if you listen to this podcast, you're very familiar with the concept.
With a 5 out of 10 experience.
And bad maybe becoming good, as God saves us. Recently, featured guests include Marissa Pinson and John Glover as they review Costco's Food Court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many hot dogs could fit in their mouths. And today, his IHOP episode dropped. So right now, head over to linktree.com/finediningpodcast and click Bee's Giveaway to enter for an all-expenses-paid trip to your local Applebee's, the current frontrunner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at a 5.02 out of 10 for you and three of your friends. And you can watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Caroline, who would you take?
Oh my gosh. If I got a table for four at Applebee's.
Yeah.
Obviously, love of my life, Nathan, gonna be there.
My fingers are crossing.
Who likes chain restaurants?
Oh, I'm getting a nosebleed.
Oh, probably my friend Jeremy.
Oh,
okay.
I know him.
That leaves one more. Let me ask you a question,
yeah,
Kevin.
Yeah.
If you were gonna order an Applebee's right now, what would you get?
I'd get a fried onion if they had it.
All right, you're in.
Okay.
As long as we can share.
Hell yeah. Listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st, and the winner will be announced on the May 8th Chipotle episode. That's linktree.com/finediningpodcast. It's Carmania 2019, round two. We listen to The Standard, and we have to talk about it today on Good Christian Fun.
Don't think about a throbbing giant dog.
What's your legacy? When you die 60 or 70 years from now, that's the clip they're going to play at the funeral.
I hope you die before me.
I hope so, too.
So that there's no supercut of the horrible things I
said. Well, well,
well.
Does that would need a montage for
come
the funeral?
In with a cane.
We'll get going, chop chop.
Oh, fuck.
You disgusting little pig.
Oh, yeah?
You're pathetic.
Wow, what else?
You are a revolting little worm, aren't you?
Oh, fuck off.
Oh, my gosh.
Welcome to Good Christian Fun. I'm Kevin.
I'm Jerry.
No, you're not. Get her name out of your dirty mouth.
Jerry is a disgusting little pig.
Hey, we're all disgusting little piglets in the eyes of God.
Oink.
Without salvation. You're Caroline.
I'm Caroline.
If this is your first episode, I want people to know who
you
are.
Thank you.
And we're going to have Good Christian Fun, episode 105 of the podcast.
Woo.
Episode 2 of Carmania 2019. We gave y'all a little break last week. Breaks
something
up,
very
B-words.
Uplifting and like meaningful.
Like truthfully, yeah.
And then dive right into like a
into
man that would
swamp.
Probably oppress you right now if he could.
Oh, very sad. Good Christian Fun is a podcast where we talk about Christian pop culture, movies, music, entertainment, Vegas showmen of New Jersey.
Yeah.
The creepy little lounge lizard types that think they're the Fonz reincarnated.
Carmen.
Be cool, baby. But we're not here to make you go to church or to proselytize to you or make fun of your beliefs, unless you're a Scientologist. We're just here to have good Christian fun.
That's right.
You know what? If you're a Scientologist, write in.
You walk in here.
Write in if you walk in here. How are you holding up? We're almost at the midway point of Carmania.
You know what's really messed up is when I was listening to Carmen today, at work. It was like growing on me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we'll talk about that.
Yeah. So I don't like that. I don't like that by myself. I don't like what the show's doing to me. I don't like it. But also, I'm having fun.
I got a new spoken word story. It's called Caroline Stockholm Syndrome.
Well, she was going to work, and she's listening to me now.
The album for today is The Standard. We cannot talk about it alone. We need someone to help us out, so we're going to introduce said person right now, a returning guest and champ, a fan favorite, if you ask me. He is a comedian, a writer. You may know him from Rick and Morty, Jimmy Kimmel Live, or his comic that a lot of you read after his appearance, Judas! Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Jeff Loveness! And everybody, not just ladies and gentlemen, shit!
Oh, you got it.
Fuck! Sorry.
Hello.
Hey, buddy.
Truly, truly an honor to be back. Anything for Carmen.
I honestly mean
anything for Carmen.
Anything for Carmen.
Oh, no. Oh, Carmen. Oh, no.
No, never mind. Okay.
Vegas night. Boys only.
Guys night. What do you think a men's retreat with Carmen looks like?
Do you know something? Is there something about Carmen I do not know?
I mean, probably, right? Yeah. There's something about Carmen we don't know.
Did you know he was a Vegas lounge singer for a while?
I mean, I believe it. Yeah. I, without a doubt, I believe that.
It clicked a lot of things for me, but I didn't know it beforehand. That helped.
I feel like Reno would be the ceiling for him, but like Vegas, he was like a journeyman Vegas guy. Wow,
probably at like Excalibur.
Oh, well, yeah.
Poor guy.
Oh, boy. But Jeff is returning champ. Thanks so much for joining us again.
Oh, no. Truly.
After being back.
Christmas with a capital C was the last time you watched. We made you watch that dumb movie.
That was great.
That was fun to talk about. And it was very cool to see. We still get emails of people talking about your appearance on the show and tweeting you and stuff.
No, that was like truly, and I mean it, like a highlight of the year. Like, I mean,
that's
I don't often get to talk about just those weird pockets of Christian culture that I was so like, I grew up so deep in it. And so like, I mean, you guys probably hear this all the time, but like, people don't get it on the outside. It's just kind of like it's fun to talk to people who are like up around that stuff, and like they get the language and the cadence of it and all that. Like, sure. No, it's a joy. It's a delight.
To me, one of the ways I've thought about it is like growing up in it and then explaining it to people that didn't is like what it's like to explain to someone a dream that you had last night. They're like, oh, okay.
Uh-huh.
And then, no, you don't understand.
Like,
Carmen played
ridiculous.
These like stadiums and auditoriums.
And like, it was ridiculous, but also like my soul has changed from it.
And they're like, oh, okay.
To me.
But then when you meet someone who did grow up in it, it's like, we had the same dream.
I was in the dream.
Yeah, I was also dreaming with you.
I escaped the dream.
Yeah. Right. Speaking of, your graphic novel was a real dream, and I really enjoyed it. I don't know if I messaged you after, but I did get it.
Oh,
and it's just so good.
Thank you so much. Yeah. I noticed like a huge uptick in people who like reached out to me and stuff after the podcast.
That's
very
sweet.
And I was like, one thing I like a year out from writing it now, like I'm really like impressed that like people, even like, you know, Christians and non-believers and all that, like they really seem to respond to it. And I tried to write the book, like, I wouldn't call myself a Christian now, but like I certainly love like the story and the characters and all that, and I really tried to be like respectful, and I tried to challenge it, and like I was very I've been very pleased that like I got messages from priests and from atheists and from teachers, and like all these like truly like such a diverse response to it, and they all seem to really love it, and I've never had such like a positive feedback from such a seemingly controversial book too.
So yeah, like, it would seem like it would cause more fires than praise.
My family hated it, and me because of it. But
honestly, who needs family?
Yeah. I think that's the lesson of Christ. Yeah,
Kevin, high five me. You love your family.
He came to bring.
No, I don't. I don't text my mom every day in our group text.
No,
I hate them. Yeah, I hate my family. Love
great.
Group text.
No,
I
they
really
came around on it. They came around on it.
Oh, good.
I really do think about your concept a lot and like what it means, especially as like rethinking Jesus and what Jesus was.
Well, explain it out a little bit for the listener.
I'm probably gonna butcher it. Fix it if I do. But basically, Judas goes to hell and is like tormented and everything. Sorry, it's been a little while.
That's basically it. Yeah.
And then Jesus comes to hell. You know, at the point when Jesus died on the cross, like the legend or the whatever of the story is that Jesus went to hell and then he went to heaven and then he came back to earth. We don't think about the hell scene very often, but you wrote a story about the hell scene. When Jesus does show up in hell, it isn't so Jesus can go to hell to forgive everyone. It's so Jesus can go to hell so
Judas can forgive Jesus.
Yeah,
for making him the murderer.
That was the whole like impetus for the whole thing. I always wondered where like Jesus went. And then anytime you think about, like, I think it's called in Catholic tradition like the heroine of hell or something. It's like Jesus goes there and liberates everyone. It's a very powerful moment, and he like, you know, rises from the dead and all that.
Yeah.
But I always thought, like, literally, if Jesus is like literally taking on the sins of humanity, that would not be a like powerful moment for him. That'd be like at his lowest point. That would be like he's finally feeling the weight of the sacrifice that he's making, and he finally understands sin and he feels what it's like. And then he kind of comes up, I mean, he confronts the fact that, like, he knew Judas was going to do it. Judas was in many ways destined to do it. I mean, it says it right there in the scripture. So, like, in many ways, Jesus kind of, like, is responsible for Judas. He never tried to save him. Judas was set up to fail from the beginning. And so in many ways, like, Jesus kind of betrayed Judas by not trying to help him or not trying to give him another road out.
Sure,
and so it was just really nice to write, like, that it was almost like a little one-act play in the middle of it between, like, Jesus and Judas kind of debating, you know, predetermination and fate. And then, yeah, it was nice to give, I guess, spoilers or whatever, but like, it was nice to give Judas like a modicum of redemption, but also to kind of humanize Jesus at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like, I've been writing comedy for like almost like 9 or 10 years now, but like, that was maybe the most rewarding writing project I've ever had. And there's like, you know, it's just a straight up like religious epic. But I know I really, and your readership or your following and all that have really responded to it. And so thank you to everyone listening.
Yeah.
After talking about The Last Temptation of Christ, the movie on the show, the concepts and the stuff that you're playing with in the graphic novel do remind me so much of that.
That's nice. I've never seen that. The closest thing I could think of is like Jesus Christ Superstar. I know I got to see Last Temptation of Christ though.
I'll say it's a really strange movie. Yeah. Like, you can probably either love it or hate it. I was like out of it for a while. And then, but it does send home some stuff. And I think along the same lines of like the concept that Jesus wronged people in his life is so rarely touched within like Orthodox Christianity.
Right. If you're going to be human, you know, humans are known for messing things up sometimes.
Exactly. Or like,
guilty as charged, fam.
Like, if Jesus really was in your life, like, you would be a sacrifice to whatever needed to happen with his story. And I think, so it plays with that too, which
for
I think
sure.
is cool.
And I think like, there's such a quiet humanity, I think, to Judas, and the fact that, like, this is a guy who gave up his life to follow someone, and then you kind of like, and then you maybe, quote, you know, lose your way or whatever. But then, like, he felt guilty enough to kill himself.
He regretted it.
And then, like, and my story picks up where he goes to hell and he kind of comes to the realization, like, oh, like, Jesus always knew this was going to happen. And like, he didn't do anything to stop it. And, like, oh, was I just, like, a pawn of fate and destiny, basically?
Yeah, like, and everyone else gets mercy except for Judas. Yeah, or, like, that opportunity for salvation.
But, yeah, but thank you guys so much for talking about it. And, like, that was, like, the most rewarding writing project of my life. So,
as the author, what is your preferred way for people to get it? Do you want them to do Amazon, local bookstore, get it digitally?
I think, you know, whatever's easy for you. Comics, and it's, like, an indie comic. It's hard to track those down sometimes. I mean, I'd say Amazon. I mean, I don't really love the company that much, but that's an easy way. There's a company called Comixology, which is digital, which I think is also owned by Amazon.
No.
I'd say go to a local bookstore for LA. It'd be like Secret Headquarters or
Skylight.
Skylight might. Yeah. Oh yes,
the Last Bookstore.
Or if you look
Skylight
up
and
on,
Last Bookstore would have it. Yeah.
On IndieBound, that's an aggregation website that tells you like where you can buy the books for wherever your town is.
Awesome. Yeah.
So that's
where
I get a lot of stuff.
That's
I get a
perfect.
Lot of our stuff
yeah.
at Vroman's.
Vroman's rocks, low key.
Vroman's is a great store in Pasadena.
It's an indie bookstore.
You got to visit if you're in
two locations.
Town.
Wait for a second. I thought you were referencing, there was this VHS series of church called Roman's Rocks that I used to watch all the time. It was like a step-by-step lesson of the Book of Romans for kids, which is not
right
interesting.
Now.
Roman's Rocks.
Romans.
And it was set to Cleveland Rocks from the Drew Carey Show.
There was this pastor called, I think his name is Jeff Walling. Yeah, his VHS series, Roman's Rocks. And it. Romans does not. The Book of Romans does not rock if you're a kid.
No, not really.
There's a lot of Roman Reigns from WWE, but that's not helping me.
Oh, my gosh.
Unfortunately. Oh, man.
Roman. That's a succession. Roman rocks.
Wait, who is that calling his name? Now do it again.
Roman.
I mean,
close your eyes.
8 out of 10. I mean, that's a great.
Is that Caroline Ely or Brian Friggin
Cox? I hired
Cox.
Him for a cameo. It was expensive, but we got him here.
Is there like
what Roy are you?
I mean,
you've got some Roman wiliness to
I'm
you.
I'm Roman or Tom.
Yeah.
You got some Rome. A Tom?
Yeah.
No.
Why?
No, not Tom.
Why not?
I'd say like a mix of Roman and Kendall, if anything.
Kendall?
I get hints of Greg, and I think I have a little bit of Greg in myself, too.
And you like, got a little Greg.
Hints of Greg. Mm-hmm. I auditioned for Greg.
Like, are you kidding me?
Years ago. Like,
no
they,
way.
I mean, again, I did not get it.
Wait, you didn't?
I didn't. Cousin Greg.
Watching the whole show.
But like, I didn't see Succession I was very late to it. I just caught up. And like, they auditioned that for a while, I think. Because it was like years ago.
Yeah, because
like,
that show's only like 2 years old.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. But I auditioned for it maybe like 3 or 4 years ago.
Dang.
But it's so funny. Like, I was so late to it. I'm like, oh, there are the sides. There's like an elevator with Brian Cox scene. Oh, okay. Yeah. Throwing up inside of a mask. Got costume. I remember that.
If I'm Roman, that means I'm fundamentally sexually broken in some ways, right? You're just shrugging at me.
We all are.
I mean, that's a compassionate perspective.
That's the good thing about
the running joke of the show. I don't think that's true for you necessarily.
I think
yes.
I think yeah.
You sent me a jerk off article last night.
No, because that's what you like.
When Roman sent that to Jerry. Am
no.
I Jerry or am I Shiv?
No. Oh, no, you're a Willa who thinks she's a Shiv.
You.
Wow. Do you need to take a moment?
The meanest things to me. And I. The thing that pisses me off is it really makes me mad. He called me a Taylor that thinks she's a Rihanna.
I know.
He's called me a Willa.
I don't actually think you're a Willa who thinks she's a Shiv. I said that because I thought it would be the equivalent of a Taylor who thinks she's a Rihanna.
My deepest fear might be is that I am secretly Connor, and that shakes me to my core.
I don't like, see it.
Just delusional.
I know something about
Napoleon.
You both
have nice hair.
Oh, wow.
But yeah. Yeah, maybe being a history buff is what you have in common. Yeah,
only great. 10 years younger IRL than Brian Cox.
I might be a little bit of a Tabitha now that I think about it, too.
So my girlfriend
Silent
in this
girlfriend.
Scenario?
Well, gross, no, but...
Ew, Barf City Mayor.
Mayor.
What a great line of conversation. Has anything changed since we last talked?
Not too much, man. Just been working and working on a new comic without Judas. And I don't know, just like
it's called Without Judas.
It's like Aftermath.
Yeah. That's terrific.
Just finished up at Rick and Morty. Just doing you know the same thing. Still you know walking with Christ. And maybe this is a quasi spoiler. I can't say anything. But like when Rick and Morty comes out, there is a pretty. I think fans of the podcast will be happy. There's some pretty good early 90s Christian entertainment
references.
I can say no more.
Okay.
But it'll be later, whenever it comes out, who knows?
But those are your flavor.
But like, I think you will see, like, okay, someone knows there's some early 90s McGee and Me sort of whatever, you know, that echelon of.
Oh, we got you and Kitty Delaney in that room. Another former guest of the show.
Oh, she's fantastic. Yeah, I forgot. Yeah. She was a Catholic, right?
She grew up Catholic, and her story was pretty mesmerizing on her episode.
Oh, she's wonderful. I'm a big fan of Kitty Delaney. Mm-hmm. She's wonderful.
Shouts out to her. Well, I think we should. Usually, this is the part of the show where we talk to people about their testimony and their relationship with religion and faith. And Jeff already did that 10 months ago. If you want to listen to it, you can. It's not behind a paywall, I don't think, unless we've like been bought out by Scripps or Earwolf or someone.
Luminary.
And then we're like, actually, paywalls are good.
I love paywalls. It's best for everybody, actually.
I remember
I'm an open book. I'm on the web. People know my thoughts on Christ. I love him. He's a great guy.
So let's actually kick things off before we start. Talking about the album, let's kick off Carmania 2019, round two.
Carmen.
I love that now. Truthfully, if I was at this concert and I liked him, this would make me lose my mind.
Of course. But what other artists, like if I went to a Bruce Springsteen show, he was like, I'm Bruce. It's like, okay.
If it was like Rihanna and then she's just there.
Yeah, but her saying her own name.
It'd be weird, but
be
I would.
Strange.
I'd like her enough to just roll with it.
Wait, that is Carmen saying his own
name. Yes, Carmen saying his own name. He's announcing himself at his concert.
Kevin. Hi, welcome to Good Christian Fun. Let's talk. You know, we have some Carmen testimonies to play. People have been sending them in via our email, goodchristianfun@gmail.com, and leaving voicemails at our voicemail hotline, 601-691-4463. That's 601-691-4GOD. And it is all for
How is
God.
That not taken? Like, if there's no, there are so many Christian phone numbers, like Central Valley Radio. Anytime you drive,
I bet they've eaten up a lot of
If you drive 30 minutes outside of LA, it's all just like Christian radio stations and like it's out of Fresno or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
a lot of the fish and fish adjacent knockoffs.
Yeah, the fish.
Cross Fish Prayer.
K-Fish.
Yeah.
Shouts out to 89.3 FM KSBJ in Houston, Texas.
Why is it always K on a radio name? Do you guys know?
Ooh, is this a riddle?
Nope, I just don't know.
Do you guys know? Do you know the secret?
I don't know what.
There we go.
I was just asking a sincere question.
I don't know. It's either W or K, right?
Yeah.
For every radio station.
I do not know. I assume they know.
I'll Google it.
Yeah.
I'll look it up. Don't text me.
Do not.
Wait, did you think I was going to?
No, stop I was thinking of someone, anybody. Anybody out
oh,
there.
Oh, tweeting.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, gotcha. So we're going to play some of those Carmen Testimonies, but before we do, Jeff, what's your relationship with Carmen?
Carmen is probably the first superstar recording artist that I was ever aware of.
Wow.
I went to see Carmen. I think it was the first concert I ever went to. It was an Arco Arena in Sacramento.
Wow.
And Carmen blew the roof off the
arena.
Place. This was like Carmen in his prime. Mm-hmm. I was maybe like 5 or 6. So like 95, 96 or whenever.
What do you remember from that?
He had a lot of guys with flags, like Christian flags going everywhere.
Yeah.
And like, he did Satan Bite the Dust. I remember that one. Mm-hmm. He, Carmen,
did he beat up Satan?
Yeah,
in that,
Carmen.
Number?
Carmen fights Satan a lot. Like,
yes.
Carmen is like the Constantine of the Bible Belt or something. Like, every other song is about like demons attacking him or Carmen standing strong against like literally Lucifer.
Yeah, we were talking about this with our friend Ross on a second service, but I have a theory that Carmen has like a closer relationship with Satan than he does with Jesus.
Oh, has Carmen fallen?
Has
Carmen?
No, I think
has Carmen
it,
been
I think
turned?
He like,
he's, yeah, I think he's flirting with it.
I think well, I don't know if it's romantic, but it's like an antagonism that he needs. You know.
No, flirting
it's like
with
Batman
it, the idea.
And Bane Batman and whoever. Like,
I would
they
argue
need each other.
Perhaps.
Wait, Batman and Bane. I was going to say Batman and the Joker.
Batman and the Joker.
Batman
right.
and the
one.
Joker complete each other.
Yeah, yeah, but Bane was this oily, like, roided up guy that's ready to go at any minute.
Sounds like Carmen
he's like
to
extremely
me.
Buff. And also, like, Carmen's always sure he's going to win.
Yeah.
And he's always inviting the attack so that he can beat his
Carmen,
ass.
You know, Carmen walks in both worlds. Yeah. Constantine and or Blade. He's like the Blade of evangelical Christianity.
Carmen is infinite.
Yeah.
It must be
an
exhausting
icon.
To feel like that all the time. Like, I'm ready to beef with
Invincible?
Satan every day.
That's not so bad.
I was literally, I was like afraid of it when I was a kid. Like, me and my my neighbor were like afraid of demons because of Carmen. Because it seemed like a big deal. Like, Satan is always there. Demons are always trying to get in.
Yes.
And, like, if you don't pray hard enough or sing Carmen songs, I guess, like, you are in perpetual danger of being like attacked by demons. It's not.
Oh, it's a psychotic thing to tell children. Like,
yeah.
It's not okay.
Not great. Not great.
I don't know the best way to teach children about evil. And I'm sure there is like a nuanced, interesting, helpful way.
Maybe
I don't, believe it's
that,
like buff, horny guys.
Come into your room at night.
Like giant lizards, that are very buff and like just full. Demons have a lot of abs in like old paintings and stuff. Mm-hmm. They are just like, they're very cut.
Or a tall drink of water.
Yeah. Maybe they're right.
Whatever the opposite of CrossFit is, pentagram fit. Is that something?
That's pretty cool.
A gym for Satan.
Yeah, I was super afraid of demons for a long time.
Yeah, I was deeply enamored with Carmen, his music, his ethos. And then we had a VHS tape of his music videos, which were basically all the track list of the album we're going to talk about.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I watched it over and over again.
Wow.
And, you know, I'm very well-versed in Carmen. And then you grow up and you realize, you know, Carmen led me astray in some ways. Carmen's politics.
Daddy did me wrong.
Revisiting some of these songs, I think Carmen could have opened his mind a little more to where the world was going. But,
or opened any part of himself.
Yeah. You know, Carmen, you...
There was some stuff that was new that, like, I hadn't heard in songs that we've listened to before.
Yeah.
Like, America Again, heard some new stuff that was like, whoa.
I think Carmen, we may have talked about this last time, may have laid the groundwork for, like, the Christian nationalist movement. And, like, because, like, the
for
Christian
real?
Flag is so prominent in all of his stuff. And then, like, seems like he was, like, very proto-Trump. And now he obviously loves Trump.
It's called America Again.
Yeah.
All he's missing is making great.
Yeah.
You got a MAGA
It's unsettling how Carmen may have he was the John the Baptist of Trump with Christian pop music.
Lord. The cherry picking he did with American history is truly incredible.
Yeah. He glossed over a few things. He glossed
the
over
founding fathers all got possessed by Jesus when they wrote the Constitution. His hands were their hands. His words were their words.
The Constitution is legally a part of the Bible.
It's like if the Apocrypha didn't suck. That's the Constitution, especially the Second Amendment.
I don't know if I'm skipping ahead. You can tell me, Kevin. But there was a line that was new for me that I heard him say. It was like...
Chewing gum?
Yes, that line. Like closet, back in the 50s, that closet one, yeah. But also back in the 50s, school problems were chewing gum and being late to class, and now it's teen
pregnancy. The trend is teen pregnancy and rape.
Yeah. And rape.
Is what he says.
And I was like, in the 50s, it was outright racism.
Yeah, segregated schools. Yeah,
that was a for real problem.
But the racist chewed gum. Yeah. Gotta grant me that.
Yeah.
The gum was really second, right up there with the racism.
And it was good gum made with real sugar, not this stevia bullshit we gotta deal with now.
So we do have an addition to Jeff's Carmen testimony. We do have some Carmen testimonies of the listeners. So let's take a listen to this Carmen testimony from a listener named Megan.
Hey, Kevin and Caroline. Oops,
sorry.
Longtime listener, first time caller. My name's Megan. I'm from Ohio. So my Carmen testimony, when I was 16, I started dating a
Carmen.
Raised in the Christian culture boy. And we were obsessed with CCM, all things CCM, Reliant K, Sanctus Surreal, Switchfoot, Lifehouse, you name it, we listened to it, we thought we were so cool. I had the Free Hugs shirt, the I Love Christian Boys shirt, I was all in. So tell me then, after we had been dating for 5 years... I come to find out
he's Carmen.
The wonder that is Carman. We were in college at this point, and I was over at his dorm room, and a Carman song came on the local CCM radio station that we were listening to. My boyfriend at the time stands up and, no lie, starts singing every single word as if it was his favorite song. I sat there in total disbelief. I could not even believe what I was hearing, seeing, all of it. It was awful. So I'm just staring at him, and he looks at me and he says, "Oh my gosh, you don't know Carman?" And I said, "I don't know what's going on. I don't know how we've been dating for 5 years, and I, A, don't know who this is, B, didn't know that you were so obsessed with him." He looks at me. He gets mad. I tell him that it's awful. And he says, "If you don't like Carman, I don't even understand how we can be together." Like, obviously we're not who we thought each other were. We legit got in a humongous fight. And about a week later, we were broken up for good.
Oh my
after
God.
5 years. So Carman ruined my relationship. But also saved my life because that guy
aww.
Was a huge dick.
You know, I'm gonna say kind of a low blow putting my ex on the line here. yeah, I'm shocked you reached out to her.
Yeah, okay, yeah. That is. I'm sorry, my Jeff. Ex. We didn't yeah, mean yeah. to spring
to
this on you like
you.
This.
I
thought this
dots.
Was a Carmen safe space. But all right, yeah, fine.
There are no safe spaces in Carmen's
what
America.
What song was he singing again? What'd she say?
I don't think she said a song.
Oh,
did she?
Okay. Can you imagine if it was?
She
America
was never familiar again? With Carmen's discography.
That's right. His oeuvre. Anyway, wow. That's a.
Incredible.
Incredible. I mean, but also very in line with the type of man who would be obsessed with Carmen into his 20s, right?
Yes. And good on Megan for being able to make good decisions in yeah. college to be like no, this
ain't
is
it.
Bad.
Yeah. After yeah. 5 years.
5 years is a lot, though. And then that for it to come crumbling down a week later.
Over Carmen. That's the most Christian, and like 5 years, and they're also
amazing.
In college. Like that's a weird Christian high school relationship that
yeah.
went on too far. Like, oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I'm sure it was the tip of the iceberg, you know, with maybe we don't get along, we don't see eye to eye, but for yeah. Carmen to be the tipping point is really amazing.
No, she got out. That's very good for her. Yeah. Congratulations.
Carmen ruined my relationship, but saved my life.
Praise God.
I want the bumper sticker with that.
We got a Carmen testimony from a listener named Paul.
Hello, fellow servants of the Most High Pod. My name is Paul. I'm from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, calling to talk a little bit about my Carmen experiences. As a kid in the 90s, Carmen was like one of my absolute faves. I loved everything he did.
Imagine being a child, and then when your friends are like, who are you listening to? I just found this band named Nirvana. They're pretty cool. Or I don't know, I just got into Run DMC. That feels awesome. Well, I got someone that's going to knock your socks off. His name's Carmen.
Like Garden State, and he just puts...
This will change your life.
Riot on Natalie Portman's ears.
We are
ears.
The righteous. And Natalie Portman's like, see?
See?
We had a bunch of his like cassettes and CDs, mm-hmm. listened to them all the time. I remember especially the Riot album.
See?
Righteous Invasion
Called
of
it.
Truth.
Right.
They
yeah, we know.
Had like a special edition like gift pack, so I got like a hat and a I think a VHS of like the mini movie, which mm-hmm. was basically a ripoff of Janet Jackson's Rhythm Nation.
Well, that's unfair. Videos. That's unfair to comment. That's unfair.
That'd be the last time a white man committed an injustice on Janet Jackson.
I happened to find it earlier this evening, and I will send you a picture because it is the wildest piece of Christian pop culture ephemera I've ever seen. But I have also seen him in concert at least twice. I'm pretty sure at least twice.
BJF's
record. And I don't remember a lot about the concerts themselves, like the music part. I kind of remember for the Champion, there may have been some sort of like boxing ring setup. It was very theatrical.
I'll take my shirt off for this one.
But one thing I do remember specifically is that they were not ticketed concerts. Like you didn't buy a ticket in advance. It was a free will love offering because
right.
Carmen is also a nonprofit organization as well as a quote unquote singer. And because of that, there was always like seating issues, at least with the two that
God.
We went to.
Carmen.
And
oh, so
I remember specifically
early.
Because my mom kind of got into a little altercation with some ladies that stole our seats while we were in the bathroom. So that was fun.
It's like me at 4th of July last
year. I also remember after one of his concerts here in the Harrisburg area, the local newspaper, the Harrisburg Patriot News, did a review and referred to him as possibly Christian music's only sex symbol. So make of that what you will.
Stop,
but yeah,
please,
Carmen was a
I
huge
couldn't.
Part of my like 90s Christian pop culture life. I think I fell off after the Mission 316 era. But I remember thinking he was just so
didn't.
Cool because he did like rap and rock and like ballads and country. Even though it's not really country, but like Satan Bite the Dust is like western-y, so I thought it was country.
Holding on is
but looking
country.
Back,
holding
it's
on is
all
so
just
country.
Sort of sad Broadway. but yeah, I loved Carmen.
Oh.
I think I loved the concerts, but I know I loved the CDs, especially the kids, the Yo Kids
Yo
CDs,
kids.
Which feature a as then unknown Nicole C. Mullen singing vocals as the cat's girlfriend or something. I don't remember for sure.
What a credit.
Being all like, oh my god, it's her when she like kind of blew up with Redeemer then later. So anyway, fun fact there. But thank you for all you do. Your podcast is amazing.
You're
I love
welcome.
You both.
You're welcome. I love
Kevin,
you.
Kevin, it's too bad you're not gay because I know like a million guys who would go out with you.
Ooh.
Caroline, I love you too. And keep up the good
That's
work.
Nice.
Bye.
Wow.
Well, clearly he was referring to, he wouldn't say I have a million friends I want to go out with you. One, because you're a woman, and two, because you're married.
I'd still like the option.
To go out with someone who's not
no.
attracted
yeah.
to you.
And not your husband.
Not my husband. Talked about it before.
Oh, boy.
That's quite nice. I like hearing that.
I love altercations at Christian music
yeah,
concerts.
I did not know that Carmen was a 501c3 nonprofit. Oh, that makes a
that's
lot of sense.
That's why he does the love offerings. That's why he
see.
Did it. It wasn't because Lord was tugging on his
wow.
friggin' heart.
Yeah. I doubt he's auditing himself very often either.
Yeah. Well, it's the ministry. It's his ministry.
It all pours right back into the kingdom.
Yeah.
I want to sit down with him and just... lock
do you
the
think
doors.
You could crack him? Like, do you think you could get him to stop the act and like talk to you?
I think I could get him to tell on himself. You know what I mean?
Oh, like on accident?
Yeah.
What is Carmen's real name? Like, has he gone by his real name in a long
Dominic
time?
Dominic Licardella.
Yeah, Carmen is his middle name. But it's
Dominic Carmen Licardella?
Yeah, but Carmen actually spelled like the normal way, M-E-N.
Yeah. He stopped using that name a long time ago. Yeah. He's only been Carmen for 30. He's been Carmen for 30 years.
I feel like he should play that up. Like, he already plays up the Italian thing anyway. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Lean into it.
Also, you know what? Based on the first testimony, I was going to ask, what is the stupidest pop culture fight you've ever gotten into with somebody?
Oh, I don't know. One time, it's not really a pop culture fight, but I mean, I got into a fight with a guy on YouTube when I was a kid. Like, I was making YouTube.
In the comments?
In like the messages or whatever, because I thought a guy, this is like the only internet fight, I actively try to stay out of them, they're dumb. Like,
sure.
I thought, and I was like a college student, so I'm, you know, 19 or so, I thought a guy ripped off my video, and to this day, I would argue that he did.
Oh, damn. I would argue,
but like, we just got into it over like back and forth emails, because he was also in another like sketch group in New York or something, and like, we just fought each other over like, who did, he ripped off some like Marvel parody thing that I did. I don't know, but like, that's not, I guess that's not pop culture.
Send me that link, I'll go
that's
defend
pop culture.
You
Marvel's pop culture.
He did, I did some parody that he did, one that was very close to mine, and I thought, oh, that's not, I'm gonna call him out on that, but that's the, yeah. not a good example.
He's a liar and a con man.
Yes, strike this from the record.
I'm trying to think of one where it wasn't like a play fight in some way. I do remember one of my close friends did get mad at me because we saw John Wick, and they said Keanu Reeves runs weird.
Oh, I know you're talking about.
And I said, no, he doesn't.
She talked about this with me, too. Yeah.
But we were never actually mad at each other, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, this guy brings up a good point, though. Like, one thing I was going to say about Carmen, especially the standard, is, like, it is truly Carmen's white album. Like,
Jeff's thesis.
I would argue that Carmen becomes an artist in the standard. Like, he hits so many genres. He hits rap. He hits country music. He hits deeply homophobic Christian spoken word ballads,
which is a genre now.
I would say it's
top
very
of the
much
chart
a genre.
That
yeah.
genre.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Unfortunately.
He really, like, every song is a new genre. Every song is a new experimentation. But I would say Carmen kind of sticks the landing on every one.
Mm. Yeah. I would say America Again is his Why Don't We Do It in the Road.
Yes, yes.
I would say we'll do the one for one later. But the final Carmen testimony comes to us via voicemail from this man.
That's
Carmen. This is Carmen.
It is.
Carmen testimony. When I was younger, my uncle did logistics for a youth conference, and one year they had Carmen as the lead.
That's a hot get. That's a hot
big,
get.
Big times.
And I got to go backstage and meet Carmen and sit in his limousine. And even being pretty young, I believe I was 9, I was overwhelmed with, like, douche chills. That guy sucks. All right, thanks.
What the commonality in these three Carmen testimonies is that we have people practicing discernment at a young age. At 21, they're like, I need to break up with this guy. At 9, they're
bad.
Like,
this guy sucks.
You know, let's get Carmen on the line, though. This is very unfair to Carmen. We got to get
there wasn't
Carmen.
Even really much of an anecdote there. You're just like, this guy sucks. I was like, you're 100% right.
Carmen's
you.
Limo. Oh, can you imagine how terrible that would be?
Ew, why does he have a limo in the first place?
Yeah.
Well, actually, why does he have a limo in the first place? That's a great question upon which to take a break.
Ooh.
And maybe we'll answer it when we come back. Is this how
tight.
Ira Glass does it?
This
where it's like, leave him with a, yeah, okay, cool. It's like Reply All, but with Christian music. We'll take a break and we'll be right back with more good Christian fun. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, Caroline, I got a question for you.
Yes.
How is your social battery right now? Are you feeling drained? Do you got a lot of energy right now? Where are you at with things as we speak today?
Well, you know, when you're pregnant, famously, your social battery is endless, actually, because you're powered by a baby battery.
It's like someone slaps a mag charger onto your phone.
Exactly.
And you can go for like 24 hours more.
I am the U.S. Marines of taking down social situations. I feel incredible all the time. So yeah, that's where I'm at. What about you?
Wow. Well, I'm feeling a little drained. And sometimes it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, which is maybe the zone I'm in right now.
Mm.
And for me, spreading myself too thin is like going to a lot of like Garfield events recently that have been happening over town.
Oh,
with
yeah.
The new movie coming out.
Why do you get so excited about those? You got to spread those out a little more.
I know. And I need to really protect my energy and stuff. But, you know, it's worth asking ourselves, what's the right amount of socializing and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need a little me time, a little alone, introverted time. But either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. So things like tuning into yourself, feeling and understanding what you want and need yourself, and then being able to communicate that to those around you, and then most especially to yourself.
Well, if you can't get pregnant immediately, that sounds like a pretty good solution as a backup.
And again, I think I might have even said this before. If I could get pregnant, I would, just to understand what it's like to have even like boundless energy that
right.
can kind of propel me into
to feel
like
feel as incredible as to, you could feel.
To exercise more, mm-hmm. to be working out like 3 hours a day.
Exactly.
Working 9 hours a day on top of that, and then
good
going
brain.
Going out 2 hours. Yes, such a good brain on top of that. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, maybe give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. If you don't like the first person you get, don't worry, there's another one on the docket. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GoodChristianFun today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
10%?
.com/GoodChristianFun. You got some thoughts on that 10%?
That's a good deal.
It is.
The
I agree.
The first month?
And especially because 10% is where I'm feeling my battery is right now. That's BetterHelp.com/GoodChristianFun.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Welcome back to Good Christian Fun. It's time to dive in to the topic. Come on, let's go. Which is Carmen. It's always going to be Carmen. The Standard, an album that came out in 1995, I want to say. 10 songs. And the previous album he put out, here, I'm going to do a little bit of backstory. Cause
please,
I think it's
please.
Fun.
Love it.
No, we're rock historians here.
You know, like we talked about in Second Service a little bit. He was a Vegas show guy, and then he went into ministry, and he was with like that Bill Gaither, like old gospel, like kind of ballady, like God is our refuge. And then
old,
he,
dead.
Yeah, decrepit. Although Bill Gaither's still hanging on. P.R.I.P. That's a pre-rest in peace to Bill Gaither. So he was doing that. He's putting out these different albums. The Champion. The last album he put out was an album called Addicted to Jesus, which
right.
I'm sure you've heard at least a little bit or seen some of the music videos. At.
Maybe, man. But I got to say, this is the one for me. This
yeah.
is the I mean, any other Carmen does not taste as sweet. This is, you know, the pure Carmen for me.
So the critical consensus of Carmen is that Addicted to Jesus was at this point his low point artistically.
Sure. Okay.
In CCM Magazine, kind of an encyclopedia and go-to resource for us for a lot of this stuff, because it is the kind of only contemporary Christian music resource still standing in any way now, is...
Yeah, didn't birth a cottage industry of magazines and newspapers, the way you think.
There's a guy named John Still that ran the magazine, and he reviewed Addicted to Jesus and gave it a piss-poor review.
Ooh.
And he liked...
What year did this come out?
I believe Addicted to Jesus was like 92 or 93. The Standard came out in 95.
Oh, okay.
But he gave it a super poor review. He talked about kind of what Jeff was talking about before. Two major themes that permeate Carmen's lyrics. One, dominion over the devil, appears in no less than five of the album's nine songs. His us versus them, but we win theme plays well with crowds, but is ultimately simplistic and tiresome. The other major theme, praise and jubilation, works when it works, whatever. Satan, Bite the Dust, a Western-style showdown with the devil, complete with the theme from Bonanza. Even though the devil loses this particular battle, so does good theology.
Ooh.
While he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world, we only have the power to resist the devil, not to, quote, blow him clean away, because that's one of the lyrics in the song.
Yeah, I remember that from a young age. I'm like, oh, Carmen, did Carmen just shoot Satan? Carmen just got a gun and shot Lucifer.
Wow.
The fallen angel of God.
Actually dragging him to hell.
Yeah.
Drag me to hell.
And the devil makes an easy scapegoat. Carmen refers to depression, strife, disease, and fear as quote unquote unclean spirits. He also speaks of the demon of alcoholism, the spirit of infirmity, and the demon of false religion. And then John says, in some ways, it's disheartening that albums like this are so popular in the Christian market. One would hope that songs that are so explicit in Christian expression would also be more artful. Apparently, a large segment of the church is content with what is little more than religious cheerleading, simple entertainment with all the right buzzwords.
Wow.
So they were. So even the core of CCM was like, no, this guy sucks.
Like, no way.
And up to this point, Carmen's like doing cover stories with CCM and doing features and stuff. Drops out.
They sound afraid of the future to me. But yeah, so Carmen, let's say Carmen's at a low point, you know?
Yeah.
And you know how the studio system is. The studio gets you. You try to turn out some hits, mm-hmm. and then you hit the ceiling and you fall. What happens after you fall?
You come back to your roots. Like a friggin' phoenix.
Back, and you come back with Who's in the House? JC. You come back hard. That is his USSR, back in the USSR.
That's right. Who's in the House is back in the
USSR. That's right.
But Carmen like would not give them interviews or anything for like 2 years
because of that negative interview.
Yeah.
Also, CCM Magazine did a story about there was a theater in, it might have been Albuquerque, it was a city in New Mexico that showed the A Witch's Invitation music video before a movie.
Before
the normal movie. The woman who ran the theater was a Christian. She loved Carmen. She's like, I'll just put this on. And then like regular people were like, what the hell is this? But not even that. But they said, this is anti-Semitic, anti-Jewish stuff.
Ooh.
Because the witch's name in the thing is Isaac Horowitz.
What?
And so the Jewish Defense League in New Mexico was like, you have to take this, like, don't show this hate speech film.
Wow.
So the one was like, no, I have a right to show it, blah, 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 blah. But then Carmen responded like, he's only named Isaac Horowitz because this is a real story that happened. And that was his name, but we just changed a few letters.
Oh, no, no, no.
Which is maybe worse than not saying anything at all.
Much worse.
So the negative review plus that story they reported on, Carmen was like, I'm out. I'm not participating. Until the Standard did a big cover issue interview with John, who did
CCM
give him,
is a sellout.
Wait, can I give you one highlight from that big cover story
Please.
Interview
yeah.
with
Please.
Carmen? So John Still goes to his house in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Ooh, ooh. Maybe I shouldn't clap. I was
Sheriff
born there.
Tulsa.
I was
oh,
born,
okay. I, was I just Tulsa, thought you tried to...
Shout out to the BOK Center where I saw Bruce Springsteen in 2009. He said... So CCM said, asks, the only thing that appears to be missing from your life is a wife. How do you feel about that? Why do you think you're still single at age 37?
They asked him about marriage all the time in his interviews.
I think
it's like women being asked about having a baby.
Right, but I think the implication in CCM stuff is that it's a coded question to ensure upon the listeners and the audience part, like, don't worry, they're not gay. Mm. They just haven't.
Right.
So they can enjoy it, because then rumors will swirl around. So Carmen says, I've asked that question a million times myself. I just don't know. I've thought, okay, you're sick. There's something wrong with you.
You're incapable of having a relationship.
Oh, Carmen.
You're too busy. You're on the road too much. You demand too much. You demand too little. You should have gotten married to this one. You should have married that one. You should have gotten married to the girl you dated when you were 20 or 30. I've gone through everything. Nobody would be more of a tormentor on the subject than myself. But the scripture says the single man has time to think about the things of the Lord. And in the course of my time being single, I haven't met anybody I felt like I was supposed to marry. So therefore, I've devoted the free time I had to ministry. And that's really it. I haven't met anybody I felt was supposed to I was supposed to marry. And then CCM says, I think if I lived in this house all by myself, I'd get really lonely and bored.
Jeez.
Despite all the stuff there is to do. Do you consider yourself restless in that way? Do you consider yourself a happy person?
Mm. Oh my
what
God.
What does Carmen say?
His response to that
no
is,
tact at all.
Yeah, there's some times that does get to you. Sometimes it's almost like a season where it just becomes a monster. Of course he would think it becomes a monster.
Yeah.
That you have to punch in the dick.
Punch him right in the dick. Go ahead, try to drive me in. I dare you.
A monster where you would just have to be willing to go out and marry anybody, I guess. Just so that you would have somebody to come home to. As big a blessing as this place is, it could be a bigger curse, too, because it's a big reminder of everything you're not, of everything you don't have, of everything that's not in the pool, of everyone that's not in the kitchen.
Dang it.
So we're finding a Carmen.
How big is this house he was in?
Oh, they described it in the article.
And
Costco size.
The comparison they drew was like Carmen has a jukebox with like all this movie soundtracks and Amy Grant albums. He also has like stuff on the wall decked out like a TGI Fridays.
Oh.
Which makes total sense, right? Given the man's proclivity
and pop culture.
Look, this is a broken Carmen right now in this time period. This is what, 93, 94? This is Carmen at rock bottom, like you said. But he's an artist, and what do artists do? They pull that pain, they take that pain, and they channel it into art.
And they create art like, who's in the house? So
no one's in the house.
No.
Who's in the,
who's in the
only
house?
Carmen.
Not my wife or kids.
he comes home every night after the tour. He's like, he whispers to no one, who's in the house?
The house.
No one's in the house. Okay, so I got to pull up. Because, Carmen. Jeff, the way you primarily experienced Carmen was through the music videos,
yes,
right?
Yes, absolutely. Great God was a big big music video in my life. I think I talked about that last time. But yep. Who's in the house, of course, yes.
Yep. Oh, wait a minute.
This might be the live Carmen experience. This is the tape I had, yep.
Oh, this is the one you had? Oh, so you had the concert tape.
I have the concert, but it also had, like, music videos.
He's not a horrible...
He can move.
Dancer, no, right?
He's a white guy dancer. He can move.
If Christianity could fuck, this is
it. He's got a Garth Brooks style mic.
Whoa. You take James C. wherever you go. Now tell me who.
All art asks a question.
Look at how big that arena is. Back in the USSR.
I love the backup dancer outfits here. Like shorts and vests. It's beautiful.
Colored blazers that were huge like this, but then like a big primary color like blue or something were so fashionable at the time. Who's in the house? God's in the house. Now, I did for this album and via the 10 songs do something that might become a recurring segment on the show, which is the Carmen costume count. Because really, the album serves less as an album and a collection of songs and more as a soundtrack to Carmen's fantasies.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Or like a character reel. You know,
that's right.
For an actor.
All right. This is Carmen. Audition for SNL. Season 37. Here we go.
Here's me as a nerd. Here's me as a jock.
It was down to him and Dana Carvey. And, you know, they're friends. They're friends. They go way back. But, you know.
Chopping broccoli.
Yeah.
So the Carmen costume count throughout all the music videos. He plays, you know, in the Who's in the House music video, an urban street youth.
Mm-hmm.
He plays a teacher. He plays a medieval knight. He plays a cowboy, and he plays a Buddy Holly type 50s rock and roller.
In just that one video?
No, in throughout all the videos.
Okay. Whoa, the narrative on that.
No, it's not like
the costume changes are amazing.
I'm like, shit.
It is Broadway.
No, but in this, like, Carmen crosses time. He, like, yeah, it's really like incredible genre work.
Did you watch any of the music videos?
I didn't get a chance to. I thought we might watch them here.
I highly recommend Great God.
Saved it. Okay,
highly
great.
Recommend Great God, but it's very long, way too long.
Yeah, so Great
Carmen does
great
stunt work.
What?
Great God is a real centerpiece. It is longer. It's like an 8 minute long music video for a 4 or 5 minute long.
That's kind
song.
Of what they are usually. They're like kind of a hybrid short film video.
Now, his unfortunately, the it's his lemonade.
It is a visual tone poem.
Kind
yeah,
of
no,
is a visual album.
Yeah.
Pretty Hurts.
No, that's the other one. Dang it. So Great God is...
Marinara sauce in my bag.
That's very good.
Hold up. They don't love Jesus like I love Jesus.
Okay.
Great God... I'm gonna give the summary so we're not just like watching it silently
right.
the whole time. But basically,
Miss Adams.
Carmen is a school teacher.
Miss Adams. You know today is the day for the big test.
Oh, it's the big test.
Obviously you are prepared.
There's a big Christian flag in the background.
Knowledge. Tell us about the Dark Ages. You know, the place where you've been
He's
for the
He's got glasses.
Test.
Okay,
on.
Daddy.
Yeah.
As the Grand Inquisitor would say. Pray ye, lassie, recite for us your doctrine.
It's part of his SNL room.
Sorry.
That's what I thought. As you all know, today is the day for the big test.
Day of the big test again, yeah.
Whatever you said, I don't believe
This is
you.
The weirdest beat, Jeff.
Thanks, buddy.
Watch this, Caroline.
You okay, Joe?
Wow.
If you show any other adult man, they have to be tripping over themselves.
Yeah, yeah. No one it looks better than Carmen. That's his law.
It is truly like watching, like Carmen music videos are like watching Tom Cruise movies now, where it's like the amount of control he has is like he'll never look like a fool.
Never.
Compared to anybody
never.
Else.
Never.
Well, Carmen is the vicar of Christ. Like, he is the image of Christ. So.
Whoa. The church didn't do it.
The Crusades.
You see, the church is the body of Christ.
Well.
The body of Christ is not going to kill itself.
Yeah, that's a loose...
It was the evil spiritual forces behind those in
the
leadership position.
The devil
positions.
Made them do it.
You see,
oh, God.
When the word of God is eliminated as the standard
I'd say
for
the
life,
Catholic Church bears some responsibility right for the Dark Ages.
Good, evil, evil.
That's such a dark good. Hole of reasoning.
All because they have no
stuff.
Standard to measure truth by. Just
this,
remember this.
They have no standard.
That the standard for right and wrong is the word of God.
That's the album cover right
and
there.
The word of God is like a sword.
He just has a sword on his desk.
He pulls out a gun.
I recommend everyone.
That word of God.
The Bible's like, the New Testament's like a gun that shoots Satan in the nuts.
And the evil of your day is a threat to you. We ready? Let's go.
This is a math class.
Yeah. Sir, this is Algebra 3. So the blonde
what is he doing to her?
Girl... No, he's not doing anything. She's daydreaming about hot teacher. So the blonde, pretty student in the front row is now daydreaming about the medieval times in which I'm going to fast forward a little bit.
You got it.
She's
I believe Carmen gets burned at the stake. Or, yeah, they almost execute him.
He's pleading his case against the court.
I think they know who God is.
Buddy
That's
is
the Pope. He's aware.
You're like, yeah, we know.
I loved this music video as a kid.
I love that in all his videos, too. He's like the least believable underdog as
right.
well. Like, he's fighting the power. There's never a stake that he'll lose.
Yeah, yeah.
He's going to
I believe
win.
He's about to be executed in like a minute or two. Yeah, and that's when it really
it's
kicks
like
into gear.
Witch Hunt classic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so they're outside. Yeah, there he is at the
keep
stake.
Keep it going, keep
Wait,
it going.
He does have dialogue here, I believe.
Pray ye. Do you have any last words to say? Before you die? Yeah.
yeah, I got a few last words here in the medieval times.
Kill the fawns. Here we go. And all the saints said, holy, 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 holy,
Watch this.
90s graphics.
But like,
whoa, they're demons.
But like,
oh my God.
Late 80s graphics, mid 90s. Yeah, it was like Willow. Like the morphing from Willow is this.
Christian technology never went past 1987.
Oh man.
But yeah, now Carmen's kicking ass.
Yeah, as he always does. But then we got to play this last beat. We just got to watch in the room. 20 minutes left.
Test.
I love it.
And then a piece of wheat falls from his head.
That's
the- so she's like, did it really happen?
That's the memento.
It's a beautiful, a stunning work.
Stunning work. Some of his best.
Yeah. That's great,
if,
God.
If Prince made that music video, it would be like,
they would herald him as a king. Yes.
There are anti-Christians out there.
But because it's about the Prince of Peace, wow, we don't see it. Yeah.
Death.
Mm.
Now, from here we go on kind of a genre safari.
Sure, sure, sure.
This
we all
one,
explore.
You
we
could
explore.
Describe as having a little Gullah Gullah Island energy, which he seems to, he likes, like, imagine him putting on his sunglasses and Carmen's like, relax, I'm on island
a lot
time.
Of Christian artists did that thing where they're just like, we'll just do Caribbean now.
Right.
Is that a style?
You know, we all have our favorites. This is, you know, like Wild Honey Pie or something. It's like, all right, yeah.
Yeah, it's fine.
All right.
Yeah, that's right. This is Wild Honey Pie.
Obla Day, obla, you know, all right, yeah. Wonderful.
Everybody praise the Lord. There's some, how would you describe this?
Wait, I forget what's in it.
There's
I'll
a lot of,
again.
Well, he's pro-integration. So, you know, I guess we got to applaud him for that.
Is he? Wow.
He says we should integrate. Well, let's see what he says. Just imagine him wailing.
Does he play an instrument?
He does.
Oh, he does?
Yeah, and now's the time to celebrate.
Does
he
really?
In the live video, he plays a drum solo. Like a Caribbean drum solo. Like,
is it like a drum battle between him and the devil?
Oh, the final battle.
But the devil's like, not my tempo.
Keep kicking over the devil's hi-hat.
There's a growing root of bitterness in the world today. From the heart of Johannesburg to the ghettos of L.A.
So,
oh,
well, okay.
Carmen,
that might be
well,
a tricky
right.
thing to untangle. So, Johannesburg and ghettos in L.A. What do these have in common, Carmen?
A swelling violent undertow has gripped the soul of man. But an integrated cry of hope echoes across the land.
See, he's pro-integration, guys. I was telling you.
Okay.
It's my SJW.
And would this be 95? So it's like L.A. riots? Is it?
I think that's probably like what people think L.A.
OJ,
was for a while.
Yeah, okay.
That kind of stuff.
Got it. Okay.
But if only everyone would just do this.
I hear my brother say.
My brother.
To let the love of Jesus.
Wow, this is a sex song.
This feels like a Top Gun sex scene.
Carmen is undressing in a robe right now.
No, but for him, he's like taking his Bible out of his book cover. It's like, I'm going to read this tonight. Takes the bookmark out.
Whoa.
We're going unprotected tonight. So there's that. Okay, now here's another kind of subgenre on the album, which is what I'm going to call a granny con song, like The River.
Mm.
This one sucks.
Because I imagine Carmen as a con. Carman, more like con man.
Hey.
Because he's a bit of a con artist.
He absolutely is.
And it feels like a lot of his. It doesn't matter who
you are. This is granny pandering.
It's total granny pandering. And it's like he's at the nursing homes and the grannies are like, I just like a man of God like that who just sings his heart.
You can hear a trembling like hand signing a check to Carmen with this. Like,
I need it for ministry.
Love
Well, I was almost about to pay off my wheelchair, but the Lord is calling right now.
Gosh, to
thank
Carmen.
You. Like, what is he doing?
You know, I will argue this is Carmen just touching his roots. You know, letting us know that, hey, he hasn't forgotten who he is. Hasn't forgotten where he came from.
A little tip of the hat.
Yeah, a little tip of the hat. Yeah.
Also, you get a little peek at his talent. You know, like he's got a range. He can sing.
This is just like McCartney having some fun. You know, this is McCartney.
I thought you were going to say this is Julia, in which John Lennon's like, hey, I remember my mom and I miss her and love her.
Yeah.
Do you like the Beatles?
Yeah. Yeah, I like the Beatles a lot.
Can you imagine a movie like Yesterday, but with Carmen, like a world in which Carmen?
Across the Universe or Carmen just, song.
It's called yeah. Heaven.
Current Day. No one remembers Carmen. We are the only ones who remember Carmen.
It feels like that. Well, no, clearly not, because there's a lot of Carmen testimonials coming in. Marching and Moving. This was just like some filler nonsense.
Sure, sure.
Like real muscular.
Revolution Number 9. Yeah, this is just...
Number nine. Okay, the only note, Caroline, I had for Marching and Moving was Me on a Date. Which I don't know what I'm getting at there.
I think Lord I Love You is Me on a Date.
Why is that?
What's Lord I Love You? Man, Lord I Love You came out of... I think this is the one I'm thinking of. It's like full love song to God.
This one?
Maybe
oh, this is like...
It's not. Shoot, I wasn't taking notes when I was listening, but it was...
80s Whitney Houston.
There's one where he's talking about like, God, somebody. I love you. I love the way the sound. I love the way you smell.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's on this.
It's on, are you sure?
Yeah, the standard? Yeah. Shoot.
What's the song?
Which one is this? I don't, oh. I see.
Yes, this is it. This is it.
This is another Granny Pandy pandering. Not Granny Pandy. Yeah.
But listen to like the tenderness of these lyrics. Summer
sky.
And you know what he sings is at the nursing homes. He is grazing past those wheelchairs. He takes their teeth out. He puts them in his mouth. Yeah. He puts them back in there.
And
mouth.
You call it pandering. I call it Carmen falling back in love with himself.
Oh my God.
Ministry.
Carmen realizing, you know what? I wasn't wrong.
This is a self-care
song. A positive spin from Jeff Loveness.
But I feel like this is truly tying back to the interview we were talking about.
Yeah.
Like where he was like, I just took all of the energy I would have had for whatever
Carmen,
and just fully put it.
Carmen
back.
At rock bottom looking in the mirror and says, there you are. There you
but
are,
to God.
Getting old friend. Yes.
Yeah.
And then, no, to Satan.
To
there
Satan,
you are.
You up. All right.
And
see
Satan
tomorrow.
Winks at him. Okay, I love you. Good night.
It's a very Magneto Professor X relationship.
Yes, it is.
They love each other.
Yes, he needs him.
Sunday School Rock. You mentioned
a Memphis sound in
the Nixon tapes.
Let's jam.
I killed them all.
Baritone sax.
That's friggin' jam.
Is that anyway, synth? Whatever. That's a synth, right?
On top of this. I mean, you can almost go into a little rock and roll. It's kind of a 50s thing, but not quite.
Oh, okay, I remember.
This sounds like Gary U.S. Bonds or something.
Yep.
Had you heard this song before?
No.
Because for some reason, I'm going to skip to the chorus.
Is this the I Love Jesus?
Yep.
Yeah.
Which this is the music video in which he does play Buddy Holly, and the children are going nuts for him.
Oh, that's fun.
Say, I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus. How about you? Okay, for some reason, this is embedded in my brain, and I don't know why.
It's called the Great American Songbook, my friend.
This is
Cole Porter, Gershwin,
Blackbird.
Hit after hit. Yeah, this, I mean, I you lost. Sure, he experimented in the middle, but I mean, this is a hit.
So my theory on this is I went to Vacation Bible School. And they did a version of this
there
at
had
Vacation
to be
Bible
a million
School.
Kids
Carmen gets $15
this, right?
Every time the Vacation Bible School sings
That's
this
a lot.
Song.
I negotiated 1,000% royalties. So you owe him money all the time?
Forever.
So as much as he panders to the grannies, he's pandering to the kiddies too. Because that's a children's backup choir.
Those do seem to be the poles he's between. It's like grannies.
Grannies, children,
Grannies,
Satan.
Grannies, little boys.
Those are
and
three
for, one for my boy, my red boy.
Yeah, yeah.
And then back to the kids.
My number one dark lord boy.
And wives about to make a mistake.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Like perhaps Margaret Becker on Holding On.
Yeah.
Okay.
This one
this
I remember.
The first time I've heard him do a duet.
Okay, Caroline,
I'm sorry, Jeff, what were you gonna say?
No. Carmen doesn't share the stage. Yeah, but he must have respected her quite a bit.
Oh, I don't want to have a Carmen energy. This is the first one you remember what?
Oh, I think I remember this one I remembered most of all, like Holding On, the country song. Because the music video is him in that country western attire, just like toe-tapping with her.
Mm.
Yeah.
So here's the music video for Holding On. Margaret Becker, who is another CCM singer lady artist. But it's intercut with rodeo footage.
Oh my gosh, this is fun.
In case you didn't get it.
Have you guys ever been to a rodeo?
No.
They're pretty fun. I said I would not last.
So he gets to be a little cowboy.
Yeah.
There's the Caroline. It's like our relationship. I sing a little, you sing a little.
No chemistry.
Zero chemistry to speak of.
Tension.
You can tell that both of us aren't enjoying it that much.
That's not true.
You know, I would argue this song might have the best Christian theology. Like, this song is about the struggle of Christianity.
Yeah. Yeah.
All you have to do is endure. It's the straight and narrow path.
Wow.
You
know? That's a great, that is
this
an excellent
actually,
point.
I would say that this is, you know, Thomas Aquinas, you know? This is St. Francis of Assisi.
Yeah.
You know, I think it
that's
is.
Totally it.
I think it's Good Night by Ringo.
It just occurred to me, holding on to a bucking horse.
Yeah. Look at them point at the camera.
The horse is faith.
Hey, now that is beautiful. Watch this. Hey, that's a gift.
That's so fun.
Us, when you like and subscribe in iTunes or whatever. So anyway, it's just a lot of that. I like a lot of her solo stuff. Okay, here's the one thing we do need to watch. They do two-stepping at some point in the music video. That's no big deal, but for the slow-down bridge of the song, they do play Sad Rodeo.
Oh, no.
What?
No, I can't wait.
Was this on one of the tapes you had?
This was on the tape, yeah. All these music videos were. Men getting kicked by cows.
It's gonna get hurt.
I mean, this is Gethsemane, you know? This is the dark night of the soul. Even Carmen doubts.
Uh-huh.
Even Carmen doubts.
He sweated bare narrow.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
The, oh, no. Olive
That's
garden.
What it was in the,
yeah. The Olive Garden.
The Olive Garden of Gethsemane.
Olive Garden. Yeah.
I let you finish that. I had a
so
tweet
funny.
That I was like ashamed of and yet also proud of. Like, you know who also got arrested at an Olive Garden? Christ. Jesus Christ.
I think I retweeted that. I must have retweeted that. That's so great.
I was slightly proud of it.
Hey, when you tweet, Jesus, I listen. You know, and then of course the big showstopper. And I do mean that because it grinds everything to a screeching halt. I want to point this out. In CCM magazine, John still talked about like, what's Carmen's genre? Like, he's all over the place. He does friggin' country, he does techno, he does Caribbean. Like, what is he doing? Like, this is part of the criticism. Mm-hmm. And he said on this album he didn't really do spoken word stuff, and that's really his signature thing, is like those long, like Witch's Invitation Champion, where it is like just, it's like a musical theater. It's like an audition monologue that he's doing.
Yeah. I think Carmen took that as a challenge and said, I'm going to hold off until the end for that. I'm going to show you what I got.
I think he actually did.
Oh, you want a spoken word that I'll... With... Chance the Rapper. Chance the Rapper right here. There is, yeah, choruses. Yeah.
Samuel Adams.
I mean, this is the third time we've listened to this awful song on the podcast.
On
if you
air.
Count Second Servant.
Yeah.
On air.
Yeah.
Over 200 years ago, they shook off the chains of tyranny from Great Britain.
And they went, oh, we can't deal with these books no more.
They wrote the Declaration of Independence with liberty and justice for all.
I'll get to the meat of it.
Since Jefferson called the Bible.
I mean, all this is nonsense, like TV and Fox News.
Jefferson also rewrote the Bible, dude. What a weird, like, call out to me.
I do want to point out to Jeff, my favorite thing about this song is that it's actually just America's Funniest Home Videos. Of always, the red, white, and blue. America, America, this is you.
My God.
His face
wow, on the,
cover. The
perfect Venn diagram.
Oh, yeah. We got laughs from coast to coast. Us all. When it gets to the point where people would rather come out of the closet than clean it, it's the sign that judgment of God is gonna fall.
There it is.
What does clean the closet mean here?
Oh, Carmen.
I don't know, like skeletons in your closet or something?
Not be gay.
Or not
I guess.
Be gay.
Carmen. Carmen.
Or is he just
oh,
like,
are you disappointed in Carmen?
I'm for the first time I've seen that
character.
Yeah, God can bleed.
Or maybe we're getting it wrong, guys. Let's have a compassionate perspective. Maybe sure. Carmen is a neat freak, and he just wants everyone to be tidy.
He lives in a closet.
I don't know if you've read The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying and Cleaning Up,
my gosh.
But if you could Marie Kondo your closets a little more, America would be great again.
Carmen.
If there's ever been a time to rise up, church, it's now. And as the blood-bought saints of the living God proclaim, that it's time to sound the alarm from the church house to the White House and say, we want God in America again.
Like, he's not happy with just living in a pluralist society. He wants...
Yeah.
He wants white supremacy
Christian.
Is what it sounds.
Also, this
Christian
is 1995. Oh, no. Things were fine, man.
And he wanted integrated cries of freedom just five songs ago. Yeah. Now look where we are.
Well, that's like, isn't that classic evangelical Christian?
Yes.
Like, racism must be stopped, but also it doesn't exist.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I would argue that, yeah, this Carmen stuff is like the encapsulation of the victimization that evangelical Christianity pushes so hard. It's like, we're under attack. The Bible is being burned by the
Our
president.
Our morals are slipping.
Yeah.
Everything's
Carmen,
cursing and,
you're
you
fine.
Know,
Carmen,
sex.
Open your heart. Open your heart, Carmen.
Yeah.
Well, open your pocketbook and I will.
Very well, open Carmen. Anything. Here's $5,000 for your ministry. I believe in what you're doing. But also, Carmen, open your heart.
Okay, I'll think about it.
I like wonder what would happen if he had just stayed in casinos and didn't become a Christian from his sister.
What was the road to Damascus of Carmen?
Yeah, you read the story last time. You talked about it. He was like staying with his sister, and I think he was in a really like low point, basically.
Sure.
And remember because she was like happy and she's a Christian.
I want some of that.
Yes. I can't forget that.
And then he wrote a song called I Want Some of That.
I Want Some of That.
Are we sure that he's not the cartoon cat from the album?
Wait, do you know about Yo Kids? Yo Kids is this Christian album he did, which is about a cartoon cat who like sings and raps and has fun that we might
make our
finale for Carmania 2019.
Oh,
it's a children's album that Carman.
That might be enjoyable.
Made. It's different from just like, and then Satan and I almost kissed, but we lunched.
Probably.
So it's a little bit more fun.
Cool.
But as far as tonight goes, or today, if you're listening to this during the day, the way Carmania works, Jeff, this isn't like normal episodes. Because in addition to a lot of this music being what it is, we know for sure that Carmen is peddling a lot of not great stuff on his website.
Yes.
In his messaging. You said yourself before we were talking on mic that you did check out his new single, which is just called The Flag.
Yes. I feel that's he may have started the proto-Trump Christian hysteria, and now I believe he's at the end of it. Like, he is, after all of it, it's sad to see, he just has a song called The Flag. And
that's post- Trump blues.
That is, yeah. That's
President Trump blues.
This is
and
the end.
Post
of the,
Trump blues.
This is the end of the road. I think he knows it too. I think Carmen knows that his sins have caught up with him.
Really, is the flag about the
American flag
for the flag stuff?
States of America.
Now he's grandpa pandering. Those boys.
I think he is a grandpa.
This is for Korean vets only.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
It depresses me when after a while, like, America becomes the only thing you like anymore or that you, like, care about.
It's wow, sad. That's really beautifully put, where it's like, that's the only thing that a lot of people of a certain age have any passion about.
Yes.
And refusing
about.
To see any pluralism and any of the beauty in the pluralism of America.
No.
And you think it's just this weird, like, baby boomer nostalgia that never existed in the first place. And, like, if only Carmen would open his heart and see the varieties of people he's touched and open himself, you know, maybe Carmen could come back. But it's sad to see the evil of Carmen. I'll say it, the evil of Carmen.
Absolutely.
There's some evil here. Yeah. So because of that, and because usually we try to keep an open mind with everything we do and enter with curiosity rather than negativity or bias.
Yes.
Unfortunately, we know Carmen too well. So instead of a holy roast or holy toast, our options for how we rate these Carmen pieces of media are going to be, we can send it to hell, give it a holy roast, which is, you know, which is what we usually do.
Honestly, it seems like a punishment too sweet for
no,
Carmen.
I think, no. I disagree. No. I think Carmen
Stop,
would.
I hate
Carmen
it.
Carmen would.
Oh, I have to.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I hate to see my enemy and not my best friend, Satan.
No,
I think he's ready for
off.
It. He wants to have like a Valhalla never-ending battle against Satan. Like, that's.
Yeah.
So that's one option. Or the second option is what we're going to call a holy dark roast. Much like your coffee beans at the local coffee shop, a holy dark roast is you send Carmen to a further down level of hell.
Oh my God.
Oh. Where Satan is too busy to fight him because there's a new Carmen.
That's right.
And it's like, I'm sorry, man. There's this new kid.
Oh, man.
Did this mean nothing to you?
Oh. Gosh, to be obsolete yeah, in there's Satan's a new, world would be really yeah, dark for Carmen.
New Carmen.
Yeah, this is like, it's like Carmen is Dirk Diggler and Satan is Burt Reynolds. And
it's exactly like, right. Exactly. One for
it's,
one.
It's when Burt Reynolds meets the new guy and Dirk's on the outs and has to move out of the house. Yeah. It's very sad.
Painful.
So we'll start with Caroline.
I mean, the only thing worse than being attacked by Satan is being forgotten by Satan. And I know dark hell isn't real, but it does make me sad to send anybody there, even Carmen. So I'm going to give him a normal roast.
Oh, okay. Yeah. A small act of mercy in a weary world. From Caroline Ely, we'll turn it to Jeff. Mm-hmm.
This is hard. I had a similar thought. And yet, what is Carmen if not a man who pushes boundaries? I think Carmen, if he is to change, must be brought back to that like interview stage. Like, he has to be at his lowest point. He has to be looking in the mirror again. I think you got to send him to the dark roast.
And because you think he's going to come back
maybe not,
stronger than ever.
Maybe not, but nothing else will bring him back except the harshest push. And that Carmen needs to face his demons. Carmen needs to see the pain that he's brought. But Carmen also needs to perhaps find the man in the mirror again and say, there he is, you know, and fight his way through hell step by step like the Raid 2 until he escapes from hell and then is okay with gay people. I think that'd be all right.
I tell you what, if you send him to the darkest level of hell, I do believe he'll
bring light.
Well, he'll meet someone else who's had a little experience staring at the man in the mirror.
Yes.
Who's down there.
Absolutely.
Too, probably.
That sure. I do sure.
I gotta give it a very dark roast. Yeah. There was nothing to hold on to for me. I was trying to be holding on like Margaret and Carmen wanted me to, but no, I could not. Mm-mm. It's very sad.
Carmen betrayed us. I will say that. Carmen betrayed us.
I think Carmen always showed you exactly who he was.
Carmen, if you're listening, call us, you coward. Call in.
Caroline, here's the... I will say that I just found the actual music video, not just the live performance for Who's in the House. Mm-hmm. And this is Carmen's version of
How Do You Do, Fellow Teens?
Oh, no.
I hope someone was led to Christ by watching this music video.
Well, I guess I'm a Christian now.
I think he's wearing Supreme. I love that. Wow. I will say I'm always surprised how far he'll like push himself sartorially. Like, he loves a blazer, we know that, but he'll put some streetwear on.
Yeah.
He'll put some Hawaiian wear on, he'll put Western gear.
Carmen is a chameleon.
He's comfortable in almost
any
outfit.
Carmen chameleon.
Yes, absolutely.
I was talking to, okay, so you know that urban legend I was alluding to in the Second Service episode?
Oh, yeah, like, you gotta tell it?
I don't remember to tell it. So I checked in with a buddy of mine, and it actually wasn't about Carmen. Mm. I combined it in my head. It was about Ron Luce, though, the guy who founded Teen Mania and was a huge Christian leader back in the 90s and 2000s, people may know.
What was
and
Teen Mania again?
Teen Mania was this...
That sounds like it has a bad ending no matter what it is.
It's not gonna be good.
Yeah.
It's not gonna be pleasant.
Have you heard of Nexium? No, Teen Mania was this organization in that time. I believe it was a camp, Teen Mania Ministries, evangelical youth organization in Dallas. Primary, it did Acquire the Fire, all those events.
I went
stuff.
To Acquire the Fire, yeah.
So
yeah.
did I. I remember looking at a girl I had a crush on at Acquire the Fire and be like, I like the way she worships.
Like fire.
No, I didn't
like
do that.
I like the way she worships.
Oh, I did. Shouts out.
Did she like eyes closed, hands up?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's
I mean,
the
at that age, you know, it's confusing. Can't. It's complicated.
Look, we've all been there.
What? What do you mean? Kevin.
No, I'm not. I said catnip. I didn't say Kevin.
I thought
you said
Kevin.
Kevin.
No. Okay, so the urban legend I thought was true about Carmen, but is actually about this guy Ron Luce, is that the second he would get off stage, he would go like this, hold his hand out in a cup like position, and if someone didn't put a Diet Coke in his hand immediately, he would get pissed off.
Oh my gosh.
And that was true about, of Ron Luce.
The guy who did Aerosmith. Oh, no, no, no.
I'm talking about Green M&M's, Metallica.
Mick Jagger. No. I swear I heard that story about someone else who would also put their hand out and get a Diet Coke, like, whenever. I think it was Mick Jagger.
Mick Jagger. Oh, and Mulaney. I think Mulaney did stand up about Mick Jagger would open his hand up.
Yes, yes. Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. Yeah.
Most rich people would do that if they could get away with it.
I would do that if anyone making like above
$80,000 a year would do that.
You know, Ellen DeGeneres does it looking for President Bush's hand to hold.
Oh,
I'm glad we get to witness the fall of Ellen. Like, what a rise and a fall and
very
a fall again.
Very sad sign for those of us who have friends who have worked for her.
Do you think it's going to stick, though?
No. She's untouchable.
Yeah. I don't know. It's tough. I think that
I think people still think it's about just Bush, you know, and the baseball game and being nice to everyone.
Screaming at your staffers.
Yeah, yeah, no, I've heard she's a monster.
Everyone in LA knows. Go to @ChristianFunPod on Twitter. You can give it a holy roast or a holy dark roast. So get out there and
Pokemon go to the polls.
Ballers.
2020.
2020.
Double ticket. Those two.
Those two. I guess I'll be vice president.
Hillary, that would be.
Take a seat.
I still think about Caroline's idea that if she was running now, Hillary would have to get on TikTok.
Oh. Yeah. Did you see that?
I like that yee yee juice.
Whatever. That video on Snapchat. I'm just chilling in Cedar Rapids.
Just chilling. Yeah. Cedar Rapids. My,
it's chilling.
So funny.
Oh, it's so sad.
She's fine. Very powerful lady. We victimized her too much.
Yes,
she's probably fine.
She's just fine.
Yeah.
She's been through the fire. Yes. She's been through many fires.
She's been through a lot of fires.
Yes, she has. Yeah.
She's like freaking Kirk Cameron
and
fireproof.
Yeah.
Exactly that.
Jeff, you know how this works. We lift stuff up. We don't promote ourselves or our projects. We lift them up. And maybe stuff we're enjoying in the secular culture. We start with Caroline.
Oh, you can lift me all the way up or take me down to the dark roast at Caroline's Farts on Twitter and Instagram. This week, I want to lift up a podcast I've been listening to called Iconography by friend of the show, Io Debris, and her friend Olivia Craighead.
Oh, wonderful. Io's great, yeah.
Io's so funny, and I could listen to her talk for hours, and luckily I can with this show. And they talk about pop culture icons, and it's very fun. I'd recommend the Naomi Campbell episode.
Wonderful. Okay, we'll do.
We turn to Jeff.
Thank you so much, first of all. Just take this in real quick. Don't think about where you're going to be. Don't think about where you are. Think about where you are right now.
Hey.
Beautiful. You can find me at Jeff Loveness on Twitter.
Okay.
At Jeff Loveness on Instagram. You can always just call me on the phone anytime. Anytime you guys
call
want.
Call me on the phone.
Yeah, anytime. Anytime.
Oh, yeah, and your phone number is?
Yes. Three.
Oh, gosh. Proof? I have to bleep
FaceTime.
It now.
No, only FaceTime.
Do it. Only FaceTime, yeah. Check out the television program Rick and Morty that's coming out soon. I'm on corporate right now. That'll come out sometime soon.
Hey.
You know, if you see me on the street, say hello. Chase me down. I'm around.
Do you and Matt get mistaken as brothers ever?
We do have, yeah, we're tall men with beards, so it happens. Yeah,
but your eyes are kind of similar, too.
Yeah, he's a beautiful man. He's a wonderful guy. He's a much better man than I am, I think.
That's not... Hey, Jeff, come on. No negative self-talk.
Hey, call Jeff and tell him he's a good man. Yeah.
You can text Jeff anytime. You know what? You can leave us a voicemail.
Maybe do bleep that. Maybe do bleep that.
I will. I absolutely will.
I was called out. Carmen, if you're listening, you can call.
Don't mind
we'll
if I
him.
Do. You can lift me up at Kevin T. Porter everywhere, and you can lift us up at Christian Fun Pod everywhere. And you can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, and every review you leave, we donate $1 to charity. This month's charity is...
the Environmental Defense Fund.
That's a good one.
Wait, right?
Guess so.
I'm a little sleepy. I can't remember.
Yes, it is. Okay, well, we'll let Caroline go to sleep. Jeff, thank you so much for joining us.
Wonderful to be back. I truly love coming here. Thank you.
So glad to see you again.
Please, yeah, anytime. Let me know.
Hey, buddy. And there's nothing left to say except for an all of Pod's people said.
Amen.
Jeff, what is the...
Amen.
Yeah, Carmen has never prayed in his life. Carmen does not know how to pray.
Doesn't know how.
What's the... Just put your hands together like prayer, Carmen.
No.
He's missing.
No.
He's touching his toes.
Carmen, that's your thigh.
Well, what?
He's doing the Macarena?
Father God, we did this.
Jeff, what's the Carmen magnum opus you'd like us to go out on?
Oh, man.
As a song.
I mean, we've played all the hits. I can't...
If you don't name something, I'm going to play the President Trump blues, and I don't want to do it.
Jeff, okay, yeah, please,
let's go out on positivity. Remember who Carmen was with Great God again.
Good
I
want to
hit the chorus of Great God.
Okay.
Yeah.
Remember who
Baby
Carmen
Jeff
really
is 5 years old, full beard still.
Full
still
diaper.
A tall child. Mm. full beard, full diaper. Can't lose.
Full beard, full diaper.
Yeah, this song made me a man. It's like, you have to, like, I'm so disappointed the Bible does not transform into a sword anytime you hold it up.
Whoa. Wow. Chest hair.
Yeah, the diaper falls to the ground, and in their places are jeans and a nice button down shirt.
A huge blue blazer that goes down to my knees, like the carbon.
Oh, boy. We'll see you next week on Carmania 2019.
Woo-woo.
Sorry.
Help. That was a HeadGum Podcast.